Welcome to this episode of the Senior Care Growth Show. My name is Winston, and I'm super excited today to be joined by Charles Brubaker. Charles is the Vice President of Strategy and Sales Operations with Enquire Solutions. And today we're going to talk about how to structure your senior living sales team to increase census. Are you curious about how you could improve your website, marketing, or sales activities to increase revenue for your organization? As a special thank you for listening to the show, we're offering Senior Care Growth Show listeners an exclusive strategy call free of charge. To set up a time to get specific, actionable advice, visit www.seniorcaregrowth.com/connect. We're looking forward to helping you grow. Charles, welcome to the Senior Care Growth Show.
Yeah, thank you, Winston. Appreciate it for being on.
Yeah, for sure. Charles, just by way of introduction, maybe you could tell folks a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah, I've been around the industry for the last 8 years, so it's not very long in comparison to a lot of the providers that may be listening here. And I've been on the vendor side of the space, so helping identify opportunities with providers to, you know, play a role or play a part in a relationship with, you know, other organizations like Enquire, for example. I've been at Enquire for a couple of years now. I really just come alongside providers who are evaluating what Enquire has to offer, work through the sales process, determine what the best solutions are, and then obviously work alongside ownership here to create and grow a scalable sales department.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And, you know, Enquire, obviously known as one of the leaders in the senior living CRM space, you have a lot of knowledge around sales models. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen and how the senior living sales model has shifted over recent years.
You know, I don't know if the sales model has shifted all that greatly yet. I believe it's somewhat in a mid-shift at best situation. You know, traditionally the sales model, and still seen today at a community, as a sales counselor or two or three owning the entire sales process. Yet how do you scale, you know, a person with that model? You know, when a single person is your sole sales contributor, then you're a bit beholden to that individual. Secondly, how can a single person own the sales process entirely without, you know, while keeping up with technology innovation at each of the stages? It's just simply advancing faster than that person can adapt to. You know, so what I've found and what I recommend is to identify each stage in your sales process, you know, determine the key outcomes and specific results that need to happen to advance the sale at that stage, and then identify the talents and skills needed to master that stage and execute it repeatedly. Then again, hire for those stages.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, we were talking before this podcast episode, you had mentioned that Enquire sort of shifted the model and structured the sales team in a little bit of a different way. And you'd seen some pretty impressive results from that. I was wondering if maybe you could share your experience around what's happened at Enquire and what results you've seen.
Yeah, when I first joined the crew here at Enquire, with the exception of ownership wearing many hats, including sales, I was the only salesperson. So that was a little over a couple of years ago at this time. And unlike other salespeople who traditionally carry a bag or own the whole process, I believe in the strategy we concocted here, which is to split the role based on each of the stages of the sale. So obviously, at the beginning, I had to identify what is the sales process, what is the sales cycle, begin to define that and separate those out into outcomes between each stage. So for example, you need more data about your prospects to fuel the sales department. We have, you know, folks that focus their time on identifying and acquiring prospect data and not fitting that into our CRM. Then we have members of the team that focus on outreach or, you know, nurturing and converting that data into exploratory meetings, which is the opening of the pipeline. And yet further still, we have another person that then owns the exploratory capabilities, demos, and subsequent pricing and closing part of the process, along with sales leadership or company ownership, depending on the size and scope of the opportunity. So an extreme team-centric model. And that shift is seen in our results continue to increase. So in combination with the sales model, and a need in our industry for innovative strategy for provider sales teams, we saw a record-setting Q1 in 2018. And then in June alone, we closed out having beat all of Q1's total annual contract value. So we're seeing record-setting results month after month. Our team is continuing to grow. They're continuing to specialize in their key areas. And, and away we go, right? So interestingly enough, we receive regular compliments on our sales process while this is happening. And my gut says that, particularly in our industry, a transparent, persistently proactive, and clearly defined sales process is appreciated by providers. I mean, regardless if you're a provider, vendor, whoever, in other industries, honestly, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And some of those words you mentioned there, transparent and proactive, I think hold equally true to the marketing and sales folks that are at the community level who are trying to increase census. And really, it sounds like this model would work for them as well. How would you recommend a senior living organization structure their sales team if they're trying to improve efficiency? We know they're short on time.
Yeah, truth to that, replicate the split desk model that I've had the luxury of developing over the years. And really, how is the sales process all that different? The principles remain the same. You need a lot of quality and clean prospect data you can outreach and market to. You need hunter skills that when you conduct outreach, nurturing those prospects that didn't convert or managing the inquiries, you get focused and unfiltered attention on conversion within that stage. Conversion using outreach and timely inquiry management will force a higher velocity of tours, home visits, or the like into your pipeline. Hopefully, so many of you don't have enough calendar availability with your sales counselors or the closers in this case. Now, I would simply have the sales counselors focused on providing a great experience, just like our sales engineer does with our exploratory and capabilities demos. That's our mission: provide a very knowledgeable and relationship building experience. And so, when conducting tours or home visits by the sales counselor, their mission is to build that relationship, provide that good experience, and zero in on navigating the prospective resident through closing of the deal, right? Once you have financial commitment, someone else should focus on all the tasks associated with moving that individual into the community. So then they can go back to working on the next and building the next great relationship. So no doubt there are organizations that follow parts of this or may have a similar model, but how many execute pumping large amounts of prospect data through this type of conversion machine? I don't know if there really are that many today.
Yep. Yeah. So with that model where you've got sort of different folks doing different roles within the sales organization, mm-hmm. you find that that's a scalable model as a community or an organization grows and they add people to that team. How does that structure scale?
So it's much easier to identify talent within each of the stages rather than a person who owns everything and knows everything, right? So very much so it is, in my opinion and experience, much more scalable. Also, you're able to predict hiring needs or staff reduction based on the forecast of the model easier when you have it simplified through multiple focus roles. For example, when we hire an outreach role, their primary outcome is to increase the number of appointments we have with prospects, which will fill the calendar of our sales engineer who's going to provide the good experience. So I'm able to determine based on the sales cycle with the new role's outcomes when we will have too many opportunities generated for our sales engineer to handle. This then can be a predictor of when to hire the next role within the sales process. This can also be a leverage model if you run territories based on either geography like, home care or home health, or based on verticals like we do with senior living and post-acute.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but just the importance of data throughout that sales process and having mm-hmm. the right stages defined so that you know what your conversion rate is at each stage of the sales process. And I think to your point, if you see that you need to generate new interest in the community or early stage prospects, you might focus some additional efforts on those early stage activities. And if you have that role defined, you know exactly who to hire.
Yeah. And I think you should always have a focus on that early stage of the sales process. You know, how often do we get, you know, 6 months, a year down the row with a new person who right out of the gate had this amazing amount of, you know, inquiry conversion. And then all of a sudden they've settled more on closing whatever shows up rather than sticking to prospecting. I think you got to have that focus on prospecting. And to your point around data, having focused roles in each of the stages, you're able to harness their and replicate their outcomes through data by, you know what, if it's not in the CRM, it doesn't exist. So your role puts this information in the CRM and you're not messing with anything else. You're able to get greater volumes of data that can make sense of the sales process, be able to forecast more effectively, and obviously get a better understanding of where to go, how to get there, and ask better questions.
Yep. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Charles, let me ask you this. What about segmenting roles instead of sort of by stage in the sales funnel? What about segmenting roles by strategy? So maybe like someone who just handles inbound related inquiries or someone who's responsible for outreach activities or building referral sources. What are your thoughts there?
Well, that's a good question. It depends on a few things. But also, don't get me wrong here, each of the stage, the roles that are in the stages here at Enquire, for example, we have our, you know, database development specialist, we have our regional sales associate, and we have our sales engineer. Each one of those has their own strategy. All right. So don't take our single view of this sales process as the strategy in and of itself. There are components within each one. All right. But it all depends, regardless, it all depends on a few things. For example, the number of people on the team, the skills of each of your team members, the services you offer, and in the senior housing case, senior living case, the volume of inquiries your organization receives. So if you get large volumes of inbound and it's enough, that focused attention will yield higher results with less time and employee costs to get them, then I'd go that route. You know, personally and with bias, I'd outsource that function to Enquire. If you don't get a lot of inbound, then you must go to the market to find opportunities to fill your pipeline. I mean, they're not showing up. You got to go to them. So whether this be targeting the prospects, you know, targeting referral partners, or, you know, getting involved in the community events or the like. Now you could leverage the same inbound conversion team to conduct the initial outreach to schedule the tours or schedule home visits or even schedule appointments with referral partners on behalf of the role who conducts face-to-face meetings. So, you know, segmenting roles makes sense regardless of the service offered or industry you're in. You know, having a strategy around each of those roles obviously is going to make sense as well. And then technology that can support each of the stages of the sale is advancing faster than a single person can adapt to. So by having that strategy and having these roles, you're able to train on that technology much, much easier than a single person. Plus specialization and roles within your sales department breeds accountability within the sales process itself. And each person will hold the others accountable when everyone gets a piece of the action. And that's exactly what we do here at Enquire. It's team-centric, but we're all here holding each other accountable to make sure that the sales do happen because we're all one accountable and we all get a piece of that action.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You touched on a couple of things that I think are interesting there. So the fact that the technology is advancing faster than a single person can adapt to, you know, we use marketing automation and sales automation and CRM technologies on a daily basis. And I can definitely attest to that, that new features and functions are coming out, mm-hmm. that trying to keep up with even the latest features of the technology is difficult, but also the latest best practices in sales, mm-hmm. and how to handle those inbound leads. I think, you know, handling inbound leads is a tricky thing. You mentioned outsourcing that function to Enquire. Just as a quick aside, how does that work if a community is interested in outsourcing to you? Do they just work closely with the person who's actually doing the tour and the face-to-face time to make sure it's a smooth transition?
Yeah, absolutely. Day in and day out. I mean, we're just an extension of the team. You know, we're sales assistants to the sales counselors. And so, you know, our job is to increase the pipeline through conversion of whether it be inbound or events or what have you, convert to tours, fill their pipeline, move on to the next one to convert, and then they can, you know, handle the rest. Right. But, the point is, yeah, day in and day out, we're working with them, making sure that what their strategy is or is unfolding to be, we're aligned with that, so that we can maximize each other's efforts.
Yep. Gotcha. Yeah. I think that, you know, some people are a little bit hesitant to give up some of that sales conversation to an outsourced vendor, but it sounds like it's a really close relationship, and, that makes a lot of sense. Charles, let me ask you a question too. Key areas of coverage in a sales organization. What types of things do you think need to be accounted for in terms of areas of coverage? Like, what activities do or should the sales team be looking after, and how do you organize that?
Well, obviously all areas need coverage. You know, each stage needs coverage, or your sales machine will grind to a halt pretty quick. Where I believe most organizations miss the mark is not investing in enough relevant, clean, and accurate prospect data, and then conducting outreach against it. I don't mean just outreach via email or marketing. I mean picking up the phone and cold calling someone. I mean, how often have you heard cold calling is dead, right? Or you see it on LinkedIn. You know, it's been my experience that organizations that focus on prospecting with good target data will have bigger pipelines, more closes, and happier teams. And I'm not trying to say that you obviously shouldn't have coverage on the closing piece, but I think communities already have that. They have that in the skills and talents and experience of sales counselors that they already have on staff. They're missing the conversion of the inbound inquiries. They're missing the hunter skills to conduct outreach. And they're missing large volumes of clean, qualified, accurate, you know, and a little more encompassing data. You put more of that in fuel into the machine, you convert a higher volume of those with focused attention, then your sales counselors can do their job at 110%, not trying to manage all of that.
Yeah. That is a lot for one person to cover, or a small team to cover. And to your point on conversion of inbound inquiries, last year I did a test of local communities and actually reached out to several of them. And the results were shocking for me when, you know, from several of those organizations, and I submitted forms through their website, but several of those organizations never got back to me. Some of them I got like a form email, but no other follow-up. And the range of response, and I think I reached out to over 20 different communities in the area, and the responses were just so varied. And the ones that did it well, you know, were really on their game, and they were nurturing, and they were giving me good information, and they followed up with a phone call. But those activities take, you know, it takes a dedicated person or someone with a dedicated focus to nurturing those inbound inquiries who might not be quite as qualified.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So why put your expensive sales counselor on those activities when you could either outsource that to a lower cost provider, vendor, partner like Enquire, or hire younger talent that you're going to need anyways. You're going to need talent to come in behind these sales counselors, as a lot of what we're seeing in senior housing and post acute is your staff is starting to age out. And you're not building people in behind that. So why not have a team that works and gets to know your sales process from stage to stage, hire younger, you know, lesser expensive, you know, maybe a unique way to say it, but younger folks in there that don't cost as much as a seasoned sales counselor does, get them trained up while providing a very specific outcome that drives a bigger pipeline.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I had a conversation last week, actually, or it was a few weeks ago, with Carlene Motto, who is a sales and marketing professional. She's in Chicago, works on the community side. And, you know, she mentioned sort of a similar idea of hiring young and hiring millennials, which I think some folks might be sort of a little bit scared of doing. But I think if you've got the right organization, you can train them and bring them up to speed. They could really become, you know, the next wave of your sales team. And I think what you just mentioned is a great way to put them to work on the right activities, where have them focused on those early stage leads. They're less expensive. Once you qualify those leads, you can hand it over to the more experienced sales rep to help close. Mm-hmm. But I really, really like that idea of putting them on the early stage leads. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's what we do at Enquire. You know, our team are, for the most part, are 31 and under, right? Majority of them are 25. I mean, the average age of the company is like 30. So of all the 100 plus employees we got, it's a pretty young company regardless. But that's how we do it in our sales department, because you got to. It's not a matter of you want to. In senior housing, you're going to have to find ways to bring in talent into the fold, make them bigger, better, focused roles on your organization by starting small. And by starting within these very specific stages, they're able to narrow in their focus, and they're able to potentially either stay in that role and go in an upward motion where, hey, you know what? I may be a regional sales associate here at Enquire, but I could be a regional sales manager because I'm getting better and better at this very specific role. Or, hey, you know what? I've mastered this role. I'm going to, go to the next one, the sales engineer, and I'm going to master that one. And the way they can go through from stage to stage, they can progress. And that gives them mobility and flexibility and growth in their role, that direction down the sales cycle, down the sales process itself. Or they can go up in their given stage and get more management of that role than just simply going across the sales process. So that's how we treat it. And it gives them more options. It while maintaining a focus, we're able to build skills and talents because the job is simpler. You know, I have one outcome day in and day out. It is to schedule an appointment for the engineer. Yeah, that's really simple, right? And the engineer has one outcome. My job is to convert that exploratory call into a capabilities demo. And because of that simplicity, they can master it better. They can then look for those, like you mentioned, not just technology advancements, but the best practices. That's a good point you made a little bit ago related to best practice. How do you gain all the best practices within each one of those stages if you try to cover everything?
Yeah, it's
right?
too much.
And so, it's totally too much. So, you know, give them best practices within their stage, let them build upon that. And then they're graduating up into a management role, or they're graduating across in your sales process the next role.
Yep. Yeah, I like that idea a lot. Keep folks focused on certain results. And, we do that within our organization. We call them KRAs or key result areas. And we actually sort of paint a picture of what those metrics are that somebody should be achieving. So I think, that's a really good point. I think that those areas, if you keep people focused on exactly what matters, they're going to hone in on specific functions, learn that specific function really, really well. And to your point, position themselves to be, able to move on from there in one of many different mm-hmm. directions.
Exactly.
Yep. That's great. So let me ask you one other question. If an organization is not there yet, maybe they don't have the staff for these individual roles. How would you recommend that they cover all those functions if they can't do it in-house?
Yeah, well, that's a good question and a nice plug for Enquire. First, how do you know if you're short-staffed? I mean, do you have a clearly defined sales process with stages and predictable outcomes? If you don't, then you don't truly know if you're short-staffed or how short-staffed you are, or even if you are short-staffed in the first place. And I'd focus on clearly defining the sales process and then aligning the current staff based on their talents to the most appropriate stage and outsource the rest. Enquire in the case that we've already talked about with senior housing, the talent that they have is really the sales counselor or the closer. And so I would align them to that, and I'd outsource the opening of either the opening of the pipeline through opportunity generation of converting of inquiries or going after using hunter skills, going after the referral partners and scheduling appointments for that counselor. So when it comes to Enquire, Enquire supports over 4,000 client communities with the CRM, and over 800 of those leverage the contact center in some fashion. So converting inquiries to tours or home visits with focused attention will increase the pipeline. And that's the focus Enquire brings to the relationship. We bring a velocity of pipeline generation through shoving tours on calendars, if you will. Now, qualified, don't get me wrong here. There's I'm not going into the qualified, unqualified, and how we do that with our clients, because each client's different. But, you know, let's just assume for this example that these are qualified opportunities. Now, and we can all agree that an increased pipeline with proper pipeline management by the sales counselor will ultimately generate more move-ins. Without consistent and frequent conversion of inquiries into the pipeline, everyone suffers, especially the prospective residents who should be moving in your community rather than the competitor down the road who either didn't call them back or didn't, you know, pursue the web form fast enough, you know, or didn't get back to a place for mom, or simply didn't go out to the market and find the prospective residents that would make the most sense for your community.
Yeah, that's great. That makes a ton of sense. So, you know, Charles, this is a ton of great information, and I'm just thinking through all of the stuff that if somebody's listening to this and they think, man, all of this, you know, rings true. We've got a lot of work to do in kind of making sure that we're structured the right way. But as I was kind of going through what you discussed, it sounds like there are a couple of things. I want to kind of recap some of the things that you said that are important that organizations should start doing. So in my list here, I've got they should really figure out their sales processes and make sure they have stages defined. And clearly defined stages. You also mentioned the importance of data and using a system to capture each opportunity into a CRM. And if it doesn't exist in the CRM, it's invisible. I think that's so important, is getting the right data. Defining roles and responsibilities. So should people cover different stages of the funnel? Do you have coverage in those different stages and really see where your gaps are? The next thing, too, I think, is staffing for those functions and deciding whether that's somebody that's going to be in-house or is it someone you need to hire that you don't have yet? Or should you look at partnering with an outsourced provider to cover those functions? But it sounds like organizations who are trying to get organized, get a little more efficient on the sales side should follow those types of steps to identify gaps and then make sure they have coverage. Would you agree with that? Mm-hmm. Anything that I missed? Any other recommendations for folks who are trying to get organized here?
Yeah, to the one you mentioned related to CRM data, if it doesn't exist, right? That's extremely important. But before that is you need data in general. You need to acquire data. And so we have a database development specialist, and their job is to either take this list that we got from attending a trade show, or take this magazine that has providers in it, or go on LinkedIn or Google, you know, or use Boolean search strings to identify the right contacts within an organization. So that's how we operate. We capture that data and then we put it in the CRM and we clean it up. You know, we identify the nuances that allow our marketer to then segment based on persona, whether that be title, whether that be, you know, the type of organization is it a multi-site? Is it a, you know, management company? Is it a single site nonprofit? Right. So there's some key information. And what business lines do they offer? Do they offer home health through CCRC? What do they offer? Right. So I think that is really important. I think investing more in taking the data that you do have or the vehicles by which you can capture more prospects into the CRM, clean, cold, no one's talked to them before data. Yeah. And increasing that, making it nice, making it pretty, making it qualified, if you will, to a certain degree, so that you can go after it with marketing and then your hunters, right? So, you know, that is, I think, extremely important, not just capturing the data through the sales process itself, but just more prospect data. And there are many different ways to do that. There are marketing firms out there that have access to helping you get this information. There's ways to do it. And I'm not going to go down those ways, but you got to get the data. You got to get it in mass. You got to leverage that, you know, be smart about it, segment it based on key identifiers for that data that you can then manually clean up and add to that CRM. And you'll be much more effective with the rest of the strategy if you do that right in the first place.
Awesome. Yeah, good call. That's really good advice. Man, Charles, we covered a lot here today. I think you've given folks a lot to think about. Hopefully people find this valuable. I certainly did. And I really, really appreciate your time being on the Senior Care Growth Show. This has been phenomenal.
Yeah, thank you, Winston. And again, I appreciate being able to hop on here as well. And if there's another moment we can continue this conversation, no doubt the sales process and revenue generation, senior housing and post-acute is at its most critical moment in innovation right now. So I'd be happy to play a part again.
Awesome. Yeah, appreciate it, Charles. We'll definitely have you back on the show. So that was Charles Brubaker. He is the Vice President of Strategy and Sales Operations for Enquire Solutions. If you're looking for a CRM or sales solutions for your senior living community or organization, check out Enquire. They're a great company, and we would highly recommend them. You've been listening to the Senior Care Growth Show, where senior care sales and marketing professionals come to grow. My name is Winston, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks a lot.